Yeah, we continue the Wednesday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Octane Community Studios by welcoming our next guest here to talk NBA with us from ESPN. Kevin Arnovitz checks in on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. You know, around the rest of the basketball world, they've moved on to Dallas and Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. That is not the case here in Phoenix, as we're still trying to figure out what went on to end that series. It was just hard to watch and hard to fathom. Do you have any theories on what you saw from the Phoenix Suns? I think it goes past competition on the floor, Kevin. I think the more time that passes, we're going to hear more reports of some dissension within the ranks. Are you in that camp that believes that is the case?
I mean, I don't think there's one cause for failure. I think there is it true that the team is probably not the portrait of chemistry that is portrayed when you're winning 60-something games? Probably. Do I also have someone who believes that we do have a tendency to overreact to, 48 admittedly awful, terrible minutes of basketball? Yeah, probably. I think the truth is probably somewhere in between. There are certainly instances of, teams, the Milwaukee Bucks are an interesting example, right? Because they are up 2-0. Are regarded as the best team in the league. This is 2019. They're playing the Toronto Raptors. They're up in game three, about to go up 3-0, and then they lose that game and three others, and it's this disaster. They do roll it back the next year on the guys that, hey, you know what? We were still the best team. Basketball is a strange game. Sports is mystical. You don't know why you fail sometimes. And they failed again, and then it was like, okay, we need to absolutely reconfigure this roster in major ways. Like next season when we come in, one of our two or three best players is not going to be somebody who's here.
Yeah.
Right. And they go out and get Drew Holiday, they win a championship. Right. And so if you're someone who believes that, okay, that's where the Phoenix Suns is, and it's not about identifying who the rat is, what stinks in here. It's not Mikal Bridges, even though he didn't play well. Oh, it's that guy. Right. I think there's some danger in doing that, but I think you also can look at a playoff series and say, okay, to the extent that we're not going to succeed with this current group, and we are afraid of being a team like the Utah Jazz, which is really good, has won a lot of games the last several years, and each time they come up short, we say, hey, you know what, but they got cold at the wrong time, or the other team got hot at the right time, and we're going to keep rolling it back and rolling it back, and you never get closer. So I think the Suns kind of, want to, they need to chew. Are they going to be a Milwaukee Bucks, or are they going to be a Utah Jazz? And by the way, they're also precedent for rolling it back and saying, hey, these are young guys and they're going to get better. On the other hand, you also have Chris Paul, who's an older guy who's not going to get better. So I do think hey, there's something rotten in Denmark. I think it's just regular seasons are less revealing than they used to be about teams' good qualities because nobody plays. Let's be honest. No one's out there. I mean, I'm covering a Golden State Dallas series where, they're talking about some game the Warriors played where Steph didn't get a shot in the fourth quarter against Dallas in Dallas. And I'm like, ooh, that could, I go to look at the tape, like, Draymond's not on the floor. Don't talk to me about that game. It means nothing. So I'm sort of becoming one of these people who believes that 62 wins in the regular season, whatever it is, just isn't what it used to be because the regular season in the NBA is dumb. It's a stupid regular season.
Yeah, and that makes things even harder to swallow. That means we've been kind of chasing a mirage here in Phoenix all along.
Yeah, I mean, look, all right, now I'm being hyperbolic before my coffee, okay? So it's not meaningless. The Phoenix Suns are a really good basketball team, and they've been well-assembled, right? What I'm saying is there are certain stress tests that we might have identified in the past.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think. Look, is it a team that's entirely together? No, I think when your number one pick and starting center is jawing at the coach of the year in a game seven situation, that's an indication that things probably are not on the up and up entirely. Is it a DEFCON 1? No, probably not. But I think you do need to also look. And the other thing is yours is a franchise in Phoenix that I don't think you've got ownership that wants to spend $77 million into the tax, right? It's easy to spend someone else's money, and in a perfect world, every owner would have – in a perfect world, I would like there not to be a gazillion billionaires, but I think Steve Ballmer is somebody who can go spend – I think it's something to – but let me give ownership – I want to defend ownership for a second. It's one thing to ask to spend into the tax into the $75 million range when you're keeping a champion together.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to be asked to spend $75 million into the tax when, hey, we got to a finals and this is a really good young team. And well, we think we could, that's really hard unless you do have Ballmer money. And so I think you're at a point where whether or not there's a rat in the house, whether or not it just doesn't work, this is probably an organization like many, like the Oklahoma City Thunder had to do in 2012, where you might have to pick three out of four or two out of three, or which of these max salaries do you want? Or do you want depth, even if it means giving up what you saw was a foundational piece? I think those are the questions that are going on.
Yeah, Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. You mentioned you're covering Golden State Dallas, and I saw your preview on ESPN.com where coverage options for Luka Doncic from the Golden State Warriors standpoint you describe as just a series of least bad options. That being said, Kevin, how much time do you think we see Draymond on Luka in this series?
I don't think a lot, and the reason is he is still – he's one of these guys like Giannis – and I think Jaren Jackson is emerging as one of these guys where he's just such a great help defender because you have to ultimately sell out to cover Luka. Like, he's going to blow by his primary defender. Now someone's got to rotate. You need the quarterback on the back line. And I think that is where Draymond is best. The good news, because you're the Warriors, is you have a guy like Wiggins. And, you know, it's tribute to the Warriors and what they've done that Wiggins has become this very reliable 6'7", 6'8", primary defender at the top of the floor for assignments like this. And so I don't think Draymond is going to be on him initially. Now, what I do think could happen is if, you know, Luka decides, hey, this is one of those I'm going to drive right and get into the lane, and maybe there's a floater, or maybe I'll take it to the rack. Now Draymond's your guy. But I think in terms of primary defender, I always want Draymond, and kind of talking to all the assistant coaches I talked to who have schemed for Luka in the last year or so, they sort of like that guy kind of as the back line quarterback, because, you know, sometimes the primary defender on Luka, you don't want him to be 6'1", but barring that, you're going to have to deal with him on a second line anyway, sure, unless he's going for that step back. And hey, if he's going for that step back, it generally doesn't matter who the hell is guarding him.
All right, I want to bring this back to the Suns, if you don't mind. When you look at Chris Paul, what makes more sense to you, that he encountered some kind of injury during the playoffs, or maybe it was the attrition of having to play that defense and all of it? Because it seems to me that if Chris Paul playing at a very high level is paramount to the Suns winning basketball games, then you might have to bring in something, make a big addition, given the fact that he is succumbing to attrition or can stay healthy in the postseason. Your thoughts on that dilemma for the Suns?
Yeah, right. Like, I'm somebody who believes it's probably somewhere in between, because I'm learning the realities of not being 29 years old anymore, which is, like, it's not exactly an injury, but I don't feel right. And it might be something in between. I do think they're going to – look, depth is something that the Suns have to look at. I think they're very aware of that. I mean, I think one of the things that this exposed a little bit was, hey, you know, Cameron Payne had a fantastic 2021 season and a great 2021 playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a testament to Payne. It's a testament to the staff, to the organization, for identifying that he could still play. But he regressed to the mean a little bit. Like, Cameron Payne is not as good as he was in 2021. That was one of an outlier year. So, okay, you know, we they missed Dario Saric this year, I think, a little bit in the playoffs. That would have been a really helpful guy with size that you'd need against Dallas when they spread the floor and you still need bigs, but ones who can shoot and move. And so I do think, to your point, Chris is probably not as reliable for those numbers of, you know, to use a baseball or pitches. Like, he can't give you that many innings anymore, right? And I think, so when you look at reconfiguring the roster, you know, and tinkering with it, I think, you know, depth is something the Suns have to look at. And it's not just, oh, behind these guys. It's, you need some more creation on the wing, I think. You know, Devin is Devin, and that's great. I mean, Mikal Bridges is a portrait 3-and-D guy. Like, you're going to have that guy for a long time. Wasn't his greatest series. Like, culturally, in terms of fit, he's just perfect, right?
Right.
But this league is a lot of guys who are 6'7", just attacking you. And I do think there is going to, at some point, you know, when you look around, I think that is something that, you know, unless you have a Luka Doncic, it's really important. Like, let's say, I don't think the Warriors are here today without Wiggins. Now, we all made fun of Wiggins for years.
Yeah.
Bust, whatever, blah, doesn't look. You know what? Like, I've watched a number of really bad slogs against Memphis where Clay's not shooting well, Steph's not shooting well. You know what that guy does? He just goes, and 5 seconds left in the shot clock, attacks the basket, gets the bucket. Oh, by the way, he'll give you 8-9 rebounds on the other side and guard, you know, a primary assignment. So the Suns need some depth, and they know that. And I think so that's sort of when you're kind of evaluating the roster. You're going to pay three guys the max or near max, or you know, you already have, you know, Chris for another year or two, or do you want to sort of start allocating knowing you have some foundational players and maybe you sort of, you know, do something else? So I think these are all the great questions, and I'm with you. Like, you can't really rely on those 48 minutes distributed between Chris Paul for 34, 35, Cam for 14, whatever it is. Like, that formula might not work for you going forward,
right?
With that sort of distribution.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us, as always. We really appreciate it.